This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com. This day in sports history. Hey, and welcome to another edition of This Day in Sports History. It's April 20th, and on this day in 1986, Michael Jordan scored 63 in a playoff game against the Boston Celtics. First off, it should be said this was not a very good Chicago Bulls team. The dynasty was still a few years off. The Bulls finished the regular season 30-52 and were the 8th seed in the NBA playoffs against the top seed from the East, Boston. Jordan was a second-year pro who missed 64 games in the regular season due to a broken foot, a story he talked about in the Last Dance documentary. The Celtics, as the higher seed, had home court advantage, which was indeed a huge advantage for them. They were nearly unbeatable at home that season, going 40-1 in the Garden. The Celtics had won Game 1 by 19, despite Jordan scoring 49. Prior to Game 2, Jordan was interviewed by CBS's Pat O'Brien, and he said he did not think that one man could beat the Boston Celtics. It needed to be a five-man effort. Well, that went out the window pretty quickly. Jordan unleashed his frustration at having missed the majority of the season at the lack of quality around him, and he put the team on his back for a crazy ride. His teammates were in awe of what happened that day, with John Paxson saying, "I found myself just wanting to stop and watch him, and I was playing." Larry Bird was amazed as well at what Jordan did, saying, "I think it's just God disguised as Michael Jordan." Michael hit 22 of 41 shots and 19 of his 21 free throws. He had 54 at the end of regulation when he hit a pair of free throws with no time on the clock to send it to overtime. Interesting thing with that, though, is that Jordan was fouled taking a three. That would have won it. At the time, the rules only gave a pair of free throws if fouled on a three-point attempt. Now, a shooter would be given three free throws. The Bulls had the lead late in the first OT, until Boston's Danny Ainge tied it again with a layup. In the second overtime, Jordan hit his final bucket with 1:12 remaining, tying the game once again. But not only would that be Jordan's last points, it was also the Bulls' last points. Jerry Schiesting hit a jumper on the other end to give Boston the lead back, and the Celtics held on for the 125-121 double overtime win. Jordan's magical 63 topped the previous playoff game record of 61 set by Elgin Baylor in 1962, and it's still the NBA single-game playoff record. Also on this day, in 1981, it was a record-setting performance for Japan's Toshihiko Seiko and New Zealand's Alison Rowe at the Boston Marathon. Taking advantage of favorable weather conditions, Seiko made a move on Heartbreak Hill to gain a little advantage, and then he picked up the pace in the final 5K to win in a record time of 2 hours 9 minutes 26 seconds, 1 second better than Bill Rogers' effort 2 years before. Rowe obliterated the Boston women's record by nearly 8 minutes, running the 26.2-mile course in 2 hours 26 minutes 46 seconds. Of course, those records have been bested. Seiko's record was topped the following year by American Alberto Salazar. Rowe's mark lasted 2 years before American Joan Benoit chopped another 4 minutes off her time. So, from the Celtics to the marathon to the Red Sox, let's keep the Boston theme going. Also on this day in 1912, the first baseball game was played at Fenway Park. The Red Sox beat the New York Highlanders, which would become the Yankees the following season, by the score of 7-6. And in 1967, boxing promoter Don King killed a man in a bar. And interestingly enough, it wasn't the first person that King had actually killed. On this day, King was in Cleveland. He walked into a local Cedar Street drinking establishment, and he saw Sam Garrett. According to King, Garrett owed him $600 for an unpaid gambling debt, and what happened in the few minutes after King walked in differed in who you talked to. King's story was that Garrett attacked him from behind. Eyewitnesses to the event told a different story to the police, however, saying Garrett was a small guy who was not looking for trouble, and King attacked him because he saw him as easy prey. After that, everybody agreed what took place. King pushed Garrett to the floor of the bar and started raining down blows on him. He beat him without mercy until he lay unconscious and bleeding. Garrett died 5 days later in a Cleveland hospital. In the trial, King was convicted by a jury of second-degree murder, which could and should have led to life in prison. But here's the kicker. The judge made another judgment, overruling the jury, and reduced it to involuntary manslaughter. Pretty shady in itself, but even more shady when you learn that the decision was made after a private meeting between King's attorney and the judge, without the prosecutor or court reporter present. King was sentenced and served just over 3 years in jail. And now, here's another kicker. In 2016, the street where this bar was located was renamed Don King Way. In today's non-sports, did you know? An ostrich can run nearly 45 miles per hour at top speed. That's all for today. Thanks for stopping by and giving today's show a listen. I'll have more tomorrow on This Day in Sports History. This has been an original Thrive Suite production.
Hey there, Sports History fans.
We've got some exciting news to share with you. Six of our podcasts from the Sports History Network have made it to the final round of voting for the prestigious Sports Podcast Awards. Here are their shows and the categories. Historically Speaking Sports and This Day in Sports History are both competing for Best Sports Talk Podcast. No Nonsense Old School Weightlifting History is in the running for Best Fitness, Health, and Well-Being Podcast. When Football Was Football is up for Best Sports Documentary Podcast. Wrestling with Heels On has entered the ring for Best Wrestling Podcast. And Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing is fighting for the title for Best Combat Sports Podcast. Now, of course, we need your help to take home the championship for each of these awesome shows. All you gotta do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/vote, cast your vote for your favorite shows, or better yet, all six of them. Again, every vote counts, and we gotta show the world how much sports history really matters. So thank you for your support and making Sports History Network the headquarters for sports yesteryear. But again, don't wait. You got to go vote now. That's over at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote.